Today I want to begin by just saying Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. If you have children, the Lord has blessed you. He's blessed you greatly. And never forget that. I know at times they probably test you. They're probably a trial at times. But God has blessed you with children. And this morning we're going to focus on mothers. And we're going to, here in a few minutes, look at an example, I believe, of a loving mother. The title of the message this morning is The Actions of a Loving Mother. And so we're going to look at a loving mother. But as we look at her example, I hope and pray it'll be an encouragement to all of our mothers here. For those that maybe have already raised your children, this may be an encouragement or a reminder of some of the things that you went through. And also maybe an opportunity where you can be reminded to encourage perhaps your daughter or even someone else as they're raising their children. For mothers that have children that are they're raising that are at home still, I hope and pray that this will just not only challenge you, but just encourage you to hang in there. I know being a mother and being a parent in general is tough, especially in our day and age. It's tough to raise children, and we pray that they walk with God, they love God, they serve God. But let's hang in there, and I encourage you mothers to hang in there this morning. Now, for those that are not mothers, that doesn't give you, I guess you say, an opportunity just to check out and close your eyes and sit back. I hope and pray you'll see there's some principles in this lesson this morning, in this message, some biblical principles that can be applied to if you're a dad or even relationships in general that can be applied. So I hope and pray that's a blessing to you. You know, a few weeks back, we looked at the faith of Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. Most people don't know the name of Moses' parents. That's how it is when we become parents, by the way. They begin to know you as so-and-so's dad or so-and-so's mom. You just kind of lose your identity. And that's what happened with Moses' parents as well. But we saw by faith that they overcame fear because their faith produced hope, it produced strength, and it produced courage. And they lived for God in a fearful time. And it was a fearful time. Bible tells us that the Pharaoh had declared that all the boys that were born to Hebrew parents be cast into the river. There were no exceptions. He wanted them all to be eliminated, all of them to be wiped out. And so it was a fearful time. Now today, what I want to do is I want us to consider the actions of Jochebed. We really didn't even look at any of this. We talked about their faith. I want to talk about her actions. And by the way, those actions were produced because of her faith. Because she looked to God, loved God, trusted God, believed in God, she acted accordingly. And we're going to see her actions were the actions of a loving mother. I believe they display a mother who not only had faith in God, but had great love for her son. And so Jochebed, yes, was given a difficult situation, but she proved to be a loving mother. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, if you would. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to read this portion of Scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer this morning. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' The woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are in attendance. I pray that you'll bless us from your word. Help us to learn from your word this morning. Help us to set aside maybe any secondary thoughts we're having today to focus on your word. Please guide and direct through this message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to just give you four thoughts or four actions I want to draw to your attention concerning Jochebed, and really point out to you that they were the actions of a loving mother. We have to begin with the fact that she gave birth to Moses. You know, that was a dangerous time for unborn babies in Egypt, especially when it was found out that they were a boy. How many young boys were thrown into that river and cast away? The Bible doesn't give us numbers. God knows the numbers, though. God's an excellent mathematician. He doesn't miss any details. He doesn't skip over anybody. He knows exactly how many were thrown into that river. And the boys were taken and they were cast in that river and they were gotten rid of. You know, today it is a dangerous time for unborn babies. I've often thought about how dangerous it is today for our unborn children. Do you realize many are disregarded and treated worse than animals? People can get into more trouble for animal abuse than they can for aborting a baby. We know that. It's a dangerous time for unborn babies. Do you realize 1.2 million babies a year have been aborted? Now that's from 2007 to 2011. I don't know the past few years, but that's that time span. Over 1.2 million. Before that, it was a little bit higher. When you begin to talk numbers like that, sometimes the numbers are so big, you just say, well, do you realize each one of those was a life that was taken out? Do you know what that averages to? 3,321 a day is what that averages to. Now, let's just stop and think about that. If that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will. You know, by the end of this day, if this average continues, and that's the pace it's going still, at the end of this day, over 3,000 lives will be taken out in our country. Now, I'm going to tell you, God does not miss any of those. He knows. He's keeping track. You see, those precious lives have no choice in the matter. People talk of pro-choice. You know, of course, that's the big word to use nowadays. They have no choice, though. Ronald Reagan, the president in the 80s, is the one who said, he said this. He said, I've noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born. And that's how it is. They're thankful that their mom gave birth, but they want to have the right not to give birth to someone else. You know, it's sad. I think it's sad we have to spend time on this point. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot on it. But it's sad that we can't just move on. You know, during some generations, I believe they could have just said, oh, well, that's just taken for granted. She gave birth. But in our generation, we have to at least address this. Now, I want to give you two thoughts from scriptures that we must remember concerning abortion. Of course, I believe it's a sin. I believe it's murder. But I'm going to give you two thoughts. First, Jesus Christ died for the sinful nature. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 5. I want to point something out. And I don't have time to continue to develop this too much, but I do believe it's important for us to encourage us. Romans chapter 5, and the Bible says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's referring to Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You do realize we're sinners by nature, is what the Bible teaches. You know why a little 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 month old will begin to cry and fuss when they don't get their way? And as you go back to the nursery, when you have 1-year-olds and 2-year-olds, they'll fight, they'll steal, and they'll just do everything. It's because they have a sinful nature. It's just displaying itself. It's coming out. We have a sinful nature. But notice what it says in the same chapter, Romans 5, verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, now that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sinneth reign unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, this morning, Jesus Christ has died for your sinful nature. That's what he did on the cross. He paid the price. You realize everything that Adam messed up, he set straight is what he did. He came down, he lived a perfect life, lived according to the law, provided himself as an atonement for sin. He did what nobody else could do. Up until that point, people had tried to live correctly. They couldn't. Afterwards, we're still trying to live correctly. We cannot. He did what nobody else could do, and he provided atonement for salvation. He took care of the sinful nature. That's settled. That's taken care of. Remember on the cross, he said, it is finished. He took care of the sinful nature. Now, to be saved this morning, I don't believe the Bible teaches everyone now is saved. To be saved, one must repent of sin. You may say, well, what sin's that? That's the sin which has been committed due to the desires of our heart. In other words, as we get older and we begin to have decisions to make and we choose to sin or disobey and we willingly go against the direction of the Bible, that's sin. And that's the sin we need to seek forgiveness of. That's ours. That's our sin. Yes, it's from a sinful nature, but that's the sin we need to seek forgiveness of. So to be saved, we must repent of our sin. The Bible teaches that without repentance, there is no remission. So we must repent of our sin. And secondly, we must believe in Jesus Christ. We must accept Him into our heart. You know, salvation is by grace and through faith. You're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to earn it. You're going to get it because you've trusted in Christ. You've repented of your sins and you've trusted in Him as your Savior. But what about the unborn child? You know, that bothered me for a long time. How about infants when they die? What about the unborn child? The one that's murdered in the womb? You do realize, I believe, their sinful nature has been taken care of like ours. And on top of that, some will say, well, what about their actions? I believe any sinful action or thought of an unborn child, similar to maybe an infant, are nothing but manifestations of their sinful nature. There's no willingness as far as willingly sinning. They don't understand. It's that age of innocence is where we find them. So I believe that those that are unborn are with God today. I really believe that. I believe that they're with the Lord, that they're saved, and God has them today, and they're with the Lord. Now here's my second thought on that. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment." Now I'm not going to talk a lot about judgment this morning, but in Revelation chapter 20 tells us of the great white throne judgment. And in reading that chapter, you know what I find? I find everyone will be at that judgment. Everyone. You know what? I think believers will stand before Christ. We're not going to stand in judgment on that day. But you know, the Bible talks about us as being witnesses, believers as being witnesses. I believe we'll be at that judgment. If nothing else, than to be witnesses or to provide a witness of the life that we lived and how we were saved. You know, in Revelation, we often talk about the tears being wiped away. The tears are not wiped away until the day of judgment is finished. The day of judgment is going to be a terrible day. It's going to be a day filled with tears and pain and sorrow and suffering. And I have looked. I may have missed it, so I'm going to continue to look. But I have looked in hopes of finding a passage where I can cling to that says I won't be there to watch. I don't want to be there, to be honest with you. I don't want to see my friends, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to see those that have rejected Christ stand in judgment. I haven't found it, though. I think we'll be there. And I believe afterwards is when the tears will be wiped away. You know, here's my thought on that. And this is to all those mothers that don't believe that a life is important. Do you realize those children are probably standing in judgment on that day? And it's a terrifying thought. It is. They're not hearing about that in Planned Parenthood, though. The abortion clinics will not tell these young girls that. We need to let them know that it's a life that's being taken. And we need to pray that God will work in hearts and people begin to see the importance of life. This morning, I'm not going to continue on this, but I will say this. If nothing else this morning, thank God for your mother for giving birth to you. She chose to give birth to you in a dangerous time or in a time when she could have chosen not to. I don't know your mom. Some of you, I don't know your mom, never met many of your mothers, but thank the Lord that she gave birth to you, brought you into this world, wanted to give you a life, and wanted to encourage you in that life. So a loving mother will bring a child into this world. A loving mother will not take one out. Secondly, Jochebed protected Moses. You know what she did? She protected him from the dangers of the world. His birth was concealed. The Bible tells us that she hid his birth. She didn't want these men to find out so they could take him and cast him into that river. So she concealed his birth. And the Bible tells us for the next few months that they did their best to hide his identity so that he wouldn't be found. I imagine it was a long 3 months. I tell you, just having an infant in your house, those of you that are parents, they cry when they want to, when they're hungry. And it can happen at 1 in the morning or it can happen in the afternoon. It doesn't matter. When they're hungry, they're going to let you know. I imagine it was a long 3 months for her and her husband, of course, and her family. And they did their best to conceal his identity. Actually, they did. They concealed it for those 3 months. And I wouldn't be surprised if she had many sleepless nights during that time, hushing him and keeping him quiet and probably jumping at every noise that she heard out of the house to make sure nobody would know what was going on inside. You know, she did this at the risk of her own life. That's a loving mother. And I imagine we have many loving mothers this morning that would do the same thing for your child. She did this at the risk of her own life. Bible doesn't tell us what would have happened to her, But I imagine she may have faced the same punishment that her son would have faced had they found out. And so she did this at the risk of her own life, and she protected her son. You know, when you think about this, nothing else mattered to her. The Lord had blessed her with a boy, and she was going to do all she could to raise him in this world. Mothers, I know we have mothers that are like that here this morning. Some of you have already raised your children. Some of you are in the process of raising your children. And you're so grateful for a child, you're going to do all that you can to raise them in this world and protect them. And I tell you what, that's a credit to you. And those that are praying and hoping and waiting to be parents, when God does give them to you, I encourage you to do the same. You see, she raised her child. She protected him. And I think we find here that she understood he was defenseless. You know, moms, this morning, children are under your care. Now, of course, dads too. This is not exempting dads in any case. This is just a challenge to moms. But children are under your care. And I don't think there has ever been an easy generation to raise children in. I think it's easy for us to look and say, well, our generation's so hard and difficult. And it is. But I think every generation has had sin in it. Every generation has had different problems and difficulties. So every generation is difficult because sin has always been in this world. And until Christ comes and establishes his kingdom, it'll remain in this world. So every generation is going to be difficult. But I want to challenge you mothers this morning to protect your children. Obviously protect them physically from the attacks in this world. You know, bullying has become a big problem in our society. Whether it's bullying at school or bullying online now, that's where it's become popular. Protect your children. Pay attention to what goes on in their life. I tell you, if they want to tell you something, listen. There's probably a reason they have something to share with you. Don't just blow them off and say, it's no big deal. Listen to them. You know, the day may come where if you continue not to listen, they just may not share anything with you. So listen to them when they want to talk. And pay attention to what's happening in their life. Also, let's protect them from the wickedness in this world. Sin's everywhere. You know, it's difficult as a parent to pay attention to television shows, movies. But we must. We have to protect our children. We have to teach them the ways of God and protect them not only from the wickedness in the world, but the false teachings that are out there that the devil will provide to lead them astray. So let's protect our children. That means as parents or as mothers, we must read the Bible, study the Bible, and know the Bible. So we know the teachings that God has. This morning, I encourage you as mothers to pay attention to your children. Talk to them. Listen to them. Know what's happening in their lives. And then be a loving mother. You know, Jochebed, a loving mother will protect her child at all costs. Do everything she can. Thirdly, Jochebed trusted God concerning Moses. You know, we go back to Exodus chapter 2. It says in verse 3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark for bulrushes, daubed it with slime, and went. It says, and with pitch put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Notice, it says when she could no longer hide him. You know what happened? It got to the point she couldn't keep him there anymore. I don't know if people began to ask questions. I don't know if maybe someone had heard him. Whatever it was, she could no longer keep him. And I believe she would have kept him as long as she could. She couldn't do it anymore. It was out of her control. So what she had to do was take that young boy down to the river, the Bible says she built an ark, or they put an ark together. I could see him. I imagine the tears were being shed as they were getting this ready. Took it down to the river and then had to trust in the Lord. She had to believe that God had a plan, not only for her life, but for her son. Do you realize this morning God has a plan for your children? He's given them to you to raise, but he's got a plan for them. And it's not by accident that he put them in your life. He put them there so you can raise them. And you could prepare them for this world. Also, I believe that she knew God would fulfill that plan in his life. That's faith. That is. That trusting that God will fulfill something that he has promised. She believed that God would fulfill the plan that he had for Moses' life. You know, with her, she had to give up her child twice. You know, today, you know, some parents will cry when they send their children off to kindergarten for the first time. Or they'll cry when we send them off to college. Or they go off to have a career, whether it's in the military or start a life somewhere else. The tears may be shed. She had to let her child go twice. Now, the first time was when he was an infant. Now, that'd be terrible. I'll just tell you that as a dad. That'd be difficult. She had to let him go and trust in God. Later, she had to do it again. She had to allow him to go live in the Pharaoh's house, and she had to let him go. And then she had to trust God in both situations. Now, what can be done? Mothers, what can be done when a situation or when your child gets to the point when they're out of your control? Now, some mothers here, you may not be in that situation yet, but mark it down because it's coming. Some of you have already went through it. Some of you may be with it right now. First, have faith in God. Trust God. Believe Him. And trust that He can not only work in your life, but He can work in the life of your child as well. That the Holy Spirit can move and direct. And trust that God will provide for them. Trust that God will protect. You see, they might not be able to be under your house any longer, and you can no longer provide or protect, but trust that God can, and that God can look after him. You know, she believed that the Lord would do both. She believed the Lord would provide and protect Moses. Even as an infant, when she put him in that ark and sent him down that river, she trusted God would take care of him. Also, when she sent him to the Pharaoh's house, I guess that'd be like sending him out into the world, she trusted God would take care of him. And he would go, and yes, he would live in that palace. He would get all the worldly amusements he would want. But that God would provide, and God would protect, and God would lead him. Secondly, prayer. That's all you can do sometimes. Pray. But you know, prayer is powerful. Because when you pray, you're not only talking to God, but you're asking God or requesting God to get involved in your life. And we're talking about God Almighty, who controls this entire universe and who can do whatever he wishes. So when you're praying to God Almighty. Charles Spurgeon, the Baptist pastor, said this. He says, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. This morning, I imagine when we get to heaven, some of us may be surprised how much our mom did pray for us. God may say she was praying for you every day. Even though you didn't think about it, she was praying for you. You see, the prayers of a godly mother are powerful. Theodore Roosevelt, one of our presidents, said this, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. Now, you don't hear the White House proclaiming that anymore, but I do believe that's true. Praying mothers are powerful, and if we have a nation of godly mothers praying for their children, not only raising them, but praying for them, then that'll be a blessing upon our country. You see, a loving mother will trust God with her children, and that's what Jochebed did. At some point, moms, you're going to have to trust God. You can either worry and fret and perhaps have a nervous breakdown, or you can trust God. Pray and trust the Lord will guide and direct. Finally, this morning, I want you to notice that Jochebed did all she could to raise Moses. This is my last thought I'll give to you. She taught him, the Bible says there, until he was taken away. It says in verse 9, it says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, nurse it for me, I will give you thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, became her son. She called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. It's believed by most. Now, we're not given the age here, but most believe that Moses remained in the care of his mother until he was 12 years old. That's what most Jewish historians say. Either way, she had a limited time with him. But the Bible tells us that she nursed him, she raised him, she taught him. Now, if that were the case, say it was at the age of 12 he was taken or had to go into that palace. She had 12 years to prepare him. Now, she probably understood the situation. What I mean by that is she probably knew eventually my son is going to be taken and he's going to have to live there. Moms, I imagine she did her best to prepare him for that. She probably taught him about God, taught him about the ways of the Lord, prepared him for the trials or the tests or the temptations that may come. This morning, if you have a child, it's your responsibility to prepare them. You do realize your children are nothing but like, I think it was a psychologist who said, he goes, they're like little aggressive machines is what they are. That's what he referred to young boys. I have three of them, so I agree that they are little aggressive machines. You realize that a lot of them, they're going to be adults. They're just small people is what they are. And we need to prepare them to live as adults and to make decisions as adults. And of course, prepare them in the ways of the Lord so that they can look to God and seek the Lord out. You know, when you think about Moses' mom, she had 12 years to prepare her son. And I believe, you know, her Moses' dad probably helped out as well, but we're told about his mom. You know, this morning, what would moms do today if they knew they only had 12 years? I'm going to say this, and this statement's not for anyone here. This is just a general statement. I believe many moms would find a babysitter, get a job, hang out with friends, and enjoy life. You say, Pastor, you think so? That's what they're doing today already. Why would anything else be different? Now, I do want to say this. I understand that there are times when a mother has to work. So I'm not saying that a mother cannot work. I understand there are times. And each case is different. But let's make sure that the motive is correct. Let's make sure moms challenge you to make your priorities correct. Make your child a priority in your life. Don't just set them aside and say, well, they'll be all right. They'll go to school, they'll be okay. Make sure you're raising their children. And if you have to work and that's the way it is, then God understands that as well. But the Lord also understands when some moms just don't want to raise their children. See, we can't fool God. God knows. But let's make sure children are a priority. You see, some moms are selfish. They just want their own life. They want a job. They want money. And they just want the entertainment. They just want to please themselves. Now, some mothers are lazy. And they neglect their children. They just don't want the responsibility. They want to give it to somebody else. You see, this morning, moms, I want to remind you of this. Someone is going to raise your child. You do realize that, don't you? Somebody will raise your children. And if you neglect to do so, the devil and the world will be happy to take your place. Someone's going to teach them. Someone's going to influence them. Someone's going to guide them. Someone's going to direct them. And if as a mother you just say, well, whatever, someone will step into that place. And don't be surprised if it's someone of the world or if it's the devil providing someone to teach them the ways of the world. See, that's why as a mother it's important to have our priorities straight and to teach our children, not just moms, dads too. We need to raise our children. This morning, moms, hang in there. Teaching children's difficult. Teaching them after God. You know, as they grow, they have questions. They may challenge authority, you know, as they get older. Hang in there. Don't give up. Have faith. Trust in the Lord. And teach your children. Charles Wesley, a great preacher and songwriter, said this. He said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. And that's saying something. But his mom, of course, Susanna Wesley, was a well-known mom who raised her children after God and in God's Word. Raise your children after the Lord. You know, Jochebed prepared Moses. She didn't know what Moses would become. This morning, you don't know what your children have become. One thing I do want to challenge you with or encourage you is don't destroy the dreams of your children. As a parent, it's easy. You know, child may say, I want to do this, and it's easier for someone else. Don't destroy those dreams. You know, I tell you what, they're going to have enough people in this world who are going to shoot down dreams and try to discourage them. As a parent, don't destroy those dreams. Challenge them. Encourage them. If they want to do something, challenge them. Encourage them. You know, if it's godly, there's nothing wrong with it. Encourage them to follow those dreams. God may have put those dreams in their heart to begin with. That may be the direction God wants to take them and to use them for His glory and for His honor. So encourage your children, challenge them, build them up, strengthen them, provide for them in this world. You know, she had no idea what Moses would become. She was just raising him after God and was going to allow God to take care of the rest. You see, I don't think she lived to see the results. Bible doesn't tell us. But she probably didn't live to see the results. She didn't live to see Moses eventually lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And she didn't see Moses sit down and the Holy Spirit guide him to write the first 5 books of the Bible. She didn't live to see those things, but she prepared her son to be used by God. You see, this morning, we don't know what our children are going to be, but let's raise them after the Lord. Moms, do your best to lead them after God. Now, when you think of Moses, he didn't leave the palace until after 40 years. He spent 40 years there. And I don't know if he spent 40 years enjoying everything or if he just struggled to make that separation. But I'm reminded of Psalms or Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe there's a mom here this morning who has a child who has just made some bad decisions or at some point is looking like they don't even care for God or the Lord. And you can no longer put them in time out, or you can no longer discipline them like you may have once, or make them go and do things that are correct. If you raise them after God, hold on to that promise. Pray. Seek the Lord. Pray that they'll trust in the Lord and that they'll look back to the teaching they had. Like I said, it took 40 years before Moses made that decision. I've often wondered if Moses' mom sat there on some days and said, Moses, you know better. You should be living for God. Separate yourself. But 40 years it took. Now, that's not always the case, but that's what happened here. You know, a loving mother will teach her children and raise them after the Lord. In closing this morning, mothers, take your responsibility seriously. You know, there are many mothers who just don't want to be mothers today. They don't. They don't want it. They have children, but they don't want the responsibility of being a mom. God's blessed you with children. Take that responsibility seriously. You know, the Lord, your Creator, has made you who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. He's made you who you are. If you're saved, you belong to Him. And the Lord has placed you where He wants you. I don't think God has made any mistakes. He's got you where He wants you. He's given you the children He wants you to have. On top of that, He's also provided a Savior and given you the power and strength to do what He wants you to do. This morning, mothers, you can raise your children after God. You can lead them after the Lord. You can see them grow into being young men and women for God. Of course, they're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you can see them loving God, serving God, and being willing to follow the Lord. Be content where God has placed you. Be determined. You know, there's nothing wrong with determined mothers. I think that's a blessing. Mothers that are determined to raise their children after the Lord. Be determined and be the mother the Lord would have you to be. And even if your children are adults now, you still can be an encouragement to them. You may not be able to direct them like you once were, and that's fine. That's part of the, the process of age. But you can be there for them now. You can encourage them, you can pray for them, and you can be a blessing to them as they live life themselves. And this morning, for all of us, be thankful that you had a mother. I don't know your mom. I don't know what she's done. Some say, well, my mom doesn't love the Lord, or my mom didn't raise me after the Lord. That's fine. Well, I'm going to say that's fine. It's too bad. Pray for her, and perhaps the Lord may use you to lead her to Him. But she did give you birth. You know, I think it's sad when children are unable to talk to their moms on Mother's Day. Set aside. Even if some say, well, my mom are having a difficult time. Well, be the first one to call her up and just say, Happy Mother's Day. If she doesn't answer, leave a message. Happy Mother's Day. I don't know the situation. I hope no one is dealing with that. You know, I want to leave you a thought in closing. There's a story that came out of the American Civil War. President Abraham Lincoln was the president at the time, and he summoned a successful army surgeon. This young man had been successful during the war, had not only saved many lives, but had, from my understanding, developed many new procedures. He summoned him for a meeting, and the major assumed that he was going to be commended. So he went and he met with the president, and he was kind of excited and thrilled, thought he was going to be commended for some of exceptional work that he had done. So the president sat down, they began to talk. Just simple conversation. Well, in the middle, during this conversation, the president looked at this young man and he asked him, he was a major. He said, Major, how's your mother doing? Major was taken a little bit aback. He said, well, she's doing fine. And President Lincoln said, well, how do you know? You haven't written her. But she's written me. By that time, from my understanding, it says the young man was quiet. The president looked and said, she thinks you're dead. And she's asking that a special effort be made to return your body. Afterwards, the president handed a pen across the desk and ordered that young man to write his mother and let her know that he was alive and well. This morning, maybe you don't need to write your mom, but maybe just give her a call today. Say, thank you, Mom, for having me. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to close with a word of prayer. No invitation this morning. We'll do something different. I'm just going to leave you with that. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Hope you have a good afternoon. Hope you have a good day. For all our mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. On your way out, there is a gift waiting for you. As soon as we're done praying, the children can head on out and help hand out those gifts if you'd like. It'll be right there inside the gymnasium where your teachers will be. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Happy Mother's Day. Just because we're not having an invitation, if God has worked in your heart, get things settled. If you need to ask questions about something,